First, it's time for our look at the week in Washington. Senate Republicans are holding off on taking up a $3 trillion economic relief package passed by the House. The presidential campaign is sounding different these days as the economy suffers and in-person rallies are on hold. And President Trump revealed this week that he's been taking hydroxychloroquine, an anti-malaria drug, to protect himself against the coronavirus, despite the Food and Drug Administration warning people not to take it outside of a clinical trial. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What have you thought of the president's communication during this pandemic? Has his handling of the pandemic shifted your view of President Trump? Maybe your vote, for better or worse? How are you looking at his decision to take this drug despite FDA warnings? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Lauren Gambino is a senior political reporter for The Guardian. Lauren, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start off with a listen to the president talking about taking this drug, hydroxychloroquine. Here's the moment he first told reporters.
I happen to be taking it. I happen to be taking it.
Hydroxychloroquine?
I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine. When? Right now, yeah. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I started taking it. Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories. And if it's not good, I'll tell you right, I'm not going to get hurt by it. It's been around for 40 years for malaria, for lupus, for other things. I take it.
And what have we heard from the president and the White House about his statement that he's taken the drug since then, Lauren?
He's faced a lot of questions about whether he is actually taking it because he put out a statement from the White House doctor that wasn't explicit. So he's been sort of oddly kind of in this back and forth with reporters, insisting that he indeed is taking the drug. And his team has also doubled down that indeed he is taking this drug. So that's been sort of the first wave of reaction. He was also on Capitol Hill yesterday, again, touting the benefits of this drug. And he actually made a comment that, you know, had some doctors and researchers really surprised. He said, "What, you know, some of the research that suggests this drug might not work on hospitalized patients was a quote, Trump enemy statement." And, you know, so it's turned this sort of drug that is very, it's, you know, in the trial phase. We're not sure whether it will work in treating coronavirus patients. And it sort of turned it into, another political, sort of football in a way. And researchers and doctors are getting really nervous about the efficacy of some of these tests if people are worried about participating because of all the coverage of the negative side effects of this, or vice versa, if people are very eager because the president is touting it. There could be some real implications to this discussion over whether over the president's support for this particular drug.
What kind of reactions have we seen from others in the political world, in Congress and elsewhere this week?
I think most notably seen a response from Nancy Pelosi. She was asked on CNN about this, and she said that she would prefer the president not take a drug that isn't, fully endorsed by the FDA. And she said, particularly in his situation, which she referred to as morbidly obese, and that caused its own chain of reactions to her calling the president obese. And she's doubled down on that today. Other members, Republicans, have sort of said it's up to him and his doctor, and that's the decision that they've reached. And I think you're sort of seeing it fall again on partisan lines. Democrats are pretty critical of this approach, while Republicans are sort of letting the president do the speaking on this one and sort of saying, it's his choice.
And has President Trump talked about the potential for confusion? We've seen on Fox News, Neil Cavuto, after the president made that statement warning viewers, hey, don't try this at home, in effect, others even supportive of the decision pointing out to do this along with your doctor. Has the president clarified whether this should be taken as advice?
He's actually really come out in the last day or so and attacked Fox News, particularly Neil Cavuto, over his reaction. And so I think you're getting mixed messages from the president. Of course, his team is saying, the White House itself and some of his press secretaries have said you know, obviously follow what your doctor says, and this should be done in trials, and you need to discuss it with medical professionals. But at the same time, Trump is saying, you know, I've heard from friends that this is great. And so I think there's some really mixed signals, and especially for his supporters who do tend to get their news around coronavirus from him. I think that, it is certainly sending mixed signals, and I think it hasn't, we'll have to wait and see whether there's actual real-world implications of this.
Talking to Lauren Gambino from The Guardian. It's our weekly look at the latest news in national politics. Turning to more COVID-19-related news, we saw last week the U.S. House passing another major economic relief bill related to the coronavirus pandemic, also known as the HEROES Act, they're calling it. Now, the next step would be the Senate. And what are we hearing from the Senate on this, Lauren?
The Senate is far less eager to take up the next phase of the stimulus package. And that's because they want to see how the money that they've already allocated, they want to see how that affects the economy. So they're in sort of this wait and see. Mitch McConnell has said, let's give it a couple weeks. That being said, there are some Republicans, you know, especially in states that have been really hurt badly by the coronavirus. Louisiana springs to mind, where these Republican senators do hope for more money to flow to the states and local governments that are really suffering. So there is some sort of, you know, low boiling pressure to do more, but it's likely not going to happen at least for a couple of weeks, at least according to the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. That being said, we might see some smaller action, particularly on the small business loans. Nancy Pelosi has signaled that she is willing to address that sort of separately, because there's been a lot of concerns from small businesses across the country that the last stimulus package that Congress passed, the sort of framework for getting these small business loans is just unworkable and very difficult to use. And so there is some bipartisan support for changes to this particular aspect of the stimulus bill.
Republican senators had a lunch with President Trump yesterday. Coming out of that meeting, was there anything they were talking about, apart from what you just mentioned, those the small business part of this, that they did sound like they wanted to work on, or are we just on hold as far as more economic recovery efforts for now?
Like I said, there were a few senators who said, you know, Trump sounded open to another round of stimulus money, that Mnuchin as well sounded open to it. And certainly we've seen the Fed chair, Jay Powell, he has really, he's couched his words carefully, but he's essentially said, you know, we are going to need more money to flow to the American people if we want to, you know, stave off serious economic damage. And he was testifying on Capitol Hill this week. So I think you're seeing a lot of pressure build. But again, yeah, it might just be a few more weeks until we see, you know, until Republicans think they have a clearer picture of the economic situation as these states start to open up.
And we see other action in the U.S. Senate, a committee approving a subpoena for documents related to Hunter Biden. This includes Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson on this effort. Do we know anything about what they're looking at and what the timing might be on that sort of thing?
Yes, this is sort of what Trump has been pressuring his allies in Capitol Hill to do. This actually, an aspect of this was sort of a part of why Trump was impeached way back when. He was trying to pressure Ukraine to look into some of the dealings surrounding Hunter Biden. So we know that this this is something that is very partisan. Democrats are very opposed to it. Nancy Pelosi just put out a statement condemning it. And Democrats on the committee voted against it. Effectively, you know, they're looking to see if there was any sort of wrongdoing in Hunter Biden's dealings with China. He worked for, without getting too wonky, China has now become sort of a central theme in the presidential campaign. Trump is going really hard, blaming China for the coronavirus pandemic. And so if there's any sort of family connection, if you could tie Biden in any sort of wrongdoing to the nation, I think the president really thinks that could be harmful to Biden's campaign efforts.
We'll get into the presidential race more in just a bit. I want to bring on a caller. Stacy is with us in Menasha. Stacy, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Stacy?
I have two questions. The first one, I'm wondering if the gap for the 17-year-old dependents that are home is being addressed at all in the next wave of stimulus. And also, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but is the drug that the president is allegedly taking perhaps backed by a company that backs his campaign? And would that have anything to do with the reason that he's touting the drug?
Thanks a lot for the call, Stacey. Lauren, for the first point, for the 17-year-olds weren't included in the check for dependents in those the payments under the last round of economic recovery. I haven't heard of anybody saying, let's do that next. Have you?
I was just going to say, you know, I haven't heard that, and it would be something worth checking up on, and I will do that. I just, you know, I don't offhand, I haven't heard of that.
And then she was also asking about a financial stake in a company that made hydroxychloroquine or quine. There's been a PolitiFact thing on that saying the president has a small financial stake, but not much is the gist. Have you seen any conversation about that issue, Lauren?
Actually, yeah, that seems to be the upshot. It's a very small financial stake, and and in the end, it seems that Trump is sort of more motivated because he's heard this from friends, and he's someone who does take the advice of friends very seriously, whether or not they are experts in the area, and that seems to be sort of one of the motivators behind his support for the drug.
Thanks, Stacey, for calling in. It's our weekly look at the top news in national politics. Lauren Gambino is with us, political reporter at The Guardian. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Coming up, we're going to turn our attention to the presidential race. Want to know what you think about how COVID-19 is shaking things up, if it's changing who you might vote for in November or reinforcing the decision you might have already made. And the how of campaigning. Would you go to a political rally this month, next month, in August? I don't know. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Lauren Gambino from The Guardian, looking at some of the week's top news in national politics. Lauren, I want to turn to the presidential race, and you've recently reported on this and how President Trump is adjusting his campaign to account for the pandemic. What have we seen in terms of the president's campaign message?
Yeah, so he, you know, had anticipated running on a great economy, and clearly that is not the case anymore. And so he started to shift his message. He's really trying to hammer the vice president, Joe Biden. He's, you know, trying a few different tactics. Certainly, he's already nicknamed him Sleepy Joe. And on that front, he's really trying to raise some questions about whether, you know, Joe Biden is up for the job, whether he's got the sort of stamina and can sort of build enough enthusiasm to really energize voters ahead of November. On another front, he's really targeting China. He is trying to shift, to really blame China, I would say, for the spread of this virus. You know, as far as we know, it originated in China, and he's trying to sort of draw a direct line, in a way, pushing back on some of his own the criticism of his own handling of this pandemic. And in doing so, he's trying to tie Biden, saying Biden's, you know, always sort of been weak in his in standing up to China when he was vice president, and saying that his son Hunter has these ties to China and China's business leaders. He's also taking, you know, various tactics. They are raising the allegation against Joe Biden. His campaign has not shied away from that, despite the fact that you know, the president has also faced many more allegations of sexual harassment. And so they're just trying, you know, it looks in a way like they're trying many different things, and especially in these swing states. So in Wisconsin being, you know, a swing state, they're really going to hammer Biden over his support for trade deals, for TPP, and try to make the case that, you know, that the president is really the one who's on the side of workers, and not, Joe Biden, who kind of has this brand of being, you know, working class Joe from Scranton, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, like I said, they're just trying to many different things to sort of chip away at Biden's popularity, which has risen in recent weeks. And polling does show Biden up at this moment in several key battleground states, including some showing him up in Wisconsin. So it certainly comes at this pivotal moment in the campaign when candidates can't be on the trail and they can't hold rallies. So they're kind of using, you know, the airwaves to really attack one another. And the Trump campaign has a ton of money and they're doing it very aggressively.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Logan is with us in Green Bay. Logan, hi.
Hi. Thank you. What I wanted to say, sir, that whatever Trump says shouldn't be taken seriously. His veracity is in serious doubt. Many times he made bombastic statements, which eventually came to nothing. And I feel that he is not capable of handling the crisis. And I concede that it's an immense problem, but he has come nowhere. And you can see what he's doing is constantly discounting information given by experts. And I feel that his reign should end. Thank you.
Logan, thanks for the call. And, Lauren, some people have made the case that, hey, this election is going to be potentially a referendum on how President Trump handled the coronavirus pandemic.
I've talked to a lot of strategists on both sides of the aisle, and that's what they seem to think. You know, typically, when you're running against an incumbent, it is a referendum on their presidency. And, you know, what has been bigger than the coronavirus pandemic? You know, we're approaching 100,000 people who have died from it in the U.S. You know, unemployment is very high. And so they think, you know, how the next few months will really be telling in terms of whether people trust, whether people are willing to give Donald Trump another 4 years. And as we were talking about before, Trump is actually trying to change the conversation. He doesn't want, you know, the polling has showed that there is, he is not, people are very critical of him, let's say, and they are critical of his handling, as the caller expressed. And so he doesn't want to be talking about that right now. And that's why I think you're seeing a lot of these attack ads focus on other aspects of the campaign that aren't really related to coronavirus.
Talking to Lauren Gambino from The Guardian, looking at the week in national politics. So we talked about the Trump campaign strategy. What are we seeing from the Biden campaign at this point?
So the Biden campaign is in a unique position because Biden is off the trail. He's at his home in Delaware. He's got to, you know, run his whole campaign. The joke is from his basement in his home. And he doesn't have the platform Trump has. He doesn't have a governing position, so he can't really weigh in on, you know, the policy, or he doesn't have a say in the policy and how we move on from this crisis and you know, begin to repair the economy. So he's really, what he's trying to do is he's trying to just get on as many, you know, he's calling in, making TV appearances. He's doing a lot of local news, local press. He's having, as we saw today, he is having two events in Wisconsin. Obviously, those are virtual, but he is trying to target voters there in the state. So he's trying to, in some ways, recreate the campaign trail and do it so virtually. In other ways, he's really just trying to get out there and you know, be as visible as possible, given that obviously he doesn't have the bully pulpit that Donald Trump does, or even that some of, you know, his Democratic allies who are governors have, because he's just not in government at this moment. So, yes, I think you're going to see it. Possibly being in Wisconsin, you might see a lot more of him in the coming weeks.
Are people talking about, hey, we're hoping we can get back to old-fashioned rallies by X date, by a certain period in time?
You know, what I thought was really telling was even Donald Trump, who really, you know, loves his rallies and wants to get back, he said in a Fox interview a couple weeks ago now that he didn't think a rally would happen before, you know, the end of the campaign, if even then, but, you know, September, October. Biden's campaign, they want to demonstrate what they believe is good behavior, they want to show that they are staying hunkered down until public health experts say it's okay to go out. So he will be there until the sort of public health landscape changes. And so, you know, I think we're just going to be looking at a very different campaign season for the next several months, maybe the rest of the cycle.
And how about those party conventions? Milwaukee was supposed to host the Democratic one. I think the Republican one was going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. Last I saw, Republicans were still thinking of going ahead with all in person. I think Democrats, I haven't seen the latest, up in the air on what's going to happen in Milwaukee. What are you watching for what are often the marquee events for each party in a presidential election year?
Well, some of the big concerns are, this is sort of the moment when you introduce your candidates of the whole nation, and there's the balloons, and there's all these speakers, and it's just a big seminal moment in the campaign where you define what you're running for. And to not have that, there's a big question. Democrats are far more uneasy about holding this convention. They have yet to sort of hammer down exactly how they will work it out. But one big question is, will the networks block hours of TV each night of the week that we're supposed to hold this convention to air our speeches? And if they don't, then how do we get our message out? How do you get, the whole point of it is just, again, introduce your candidate. So how do you do that without a big convention? The Republicans are much more bullish on their ability to hold a convention, but I think there's still just a lot of questions about how to do that. Who feels safe coming? That being said, the president is really eager to do this. So maybe they find, a workaround where you have far less attendees and, taking all the necessary precautions. But I think, as you said, the Democrats, it's likely to look very, very different. And even the Republican one, if they do go through with it, it's also likely to look much smaller and spaced out, very different from what we're used to, the crowd. Hey.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Lauren Gambino, senior political reporter at The Guardian. She joined us for our weekly look at some of the latest stories in national politics.